Culture Meltdown.
And Louie, that's the difference between a nuclear family and an extended family or a blended family.
Well, being Italian, I know all about nuclear families because we all have tempers.
Well, you got a great temper. I love it. Pop Culture Meltdowns, Chris Libertini, Lou Pellegrino.
Hey there.
There he is. It's Louie.
What's going on?
Episode number 16. We got a lot to cover today.
There's a lot of good stuff.
A lot to cover.
A lot of fun stuff.
The World Series is on right now.
Yeah. Sox up. As we're taping this, the Sox are up 2-0. And when this podcast comes out on Friday morning, they'll still be up 2-0. But game 3 in Chavez Ravine, Dodgers, yep. Red Sox.
Yep.
I hope the Dodgers are able to win at least 2 games. I want to see a nice 6-7 game series.
Yeah, we need our boy Kevin Burkhardt to come back over to
sure,
the East Coast.
Sure, but
he's killing it on post game.
I don't mind a Red Sox victory.
No.
I still haven't forgiven the Dodgers for 1988 after what they did to the Mets.
That's a very good point. Here's something I do not mind, though.
What's that?
Star Trek is now going to come out with a cartoon.
I like it. From what I've been reading, it's a spoof cartoon, kind of. Isn't it called Lower Decks?
Lower Decks.
Right?
Yes.
That's really funny because you're going to get some really interesting comedic episodes of sometimes a very serious drama show,
mm-hmm.
you know, from back
in
the day.
It's always been serious.
Right. So the fact that you'll have, I haven't read the full article. Mm-hmm. Is William Shatner doing anything with this?
I don't know, but you know who's associated with it?
Let me guess.
One of the writers from Rick and Morty.
Of course. Of course. Because brilliance just, you know, keeps multiplying with that show.
Guy's name is Mike McMahon.
We hope.
And I got to be honest with you, who has a last name like this? God bless you. I'm sure I had Libertini in high school. I can only imagine the substitute teachers would murder this kid's name.
Please.
So listen, it's a two-season.
You're going to talk about names?
Yeah.
My 10-letter last name?
Yeah, but at least yours resembles like a fucking bottle of water
or
something.
Oh, please, you have no idea how many times my name has been butchered.
Well, here's my whole point, right? Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for this because the guy wrote to them, just told them like 2 sentences, if I want to have the guy put the yellow thing in the replicator and get a banana. The guy's dog's name is Riker. You know what I mean? Like all this crazy Star Trek stuff.
It's the stuff you don't know what happens the other 6 days of the week because you only see one episode of Star Trek one time a week.
So the guy was saying, he goes, Mike won our hearts with the first sentence. I want to do a show about the people who put the yellow cartridge in the food replicator so a banana can come out on the other end.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. His cat's name is Riker. His son's name is Sagan. The man is committed. You know, he's jumping in with both feet. Brilliantly funny, knows every inch of the Trek episodes, and that's how it's going to be so freaking cool.
I think it's hysterically funny. I think when you see it, the way it's going to be drawn, the way it's going to be voiced, and some of the topics they may discuss and cover, I can't wait for this. As somebody who is not a Star Trek fan, I went the way of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are some people, you're either a Trekkie or you're a Star Wars
fan.
I'm
both.
Or you straddle the line and you can enjoy both. I never got into Star Trek because I just didn't get it. I was used to the pomp and circumstance of Star Wars.
Right.
The toys were cooler. Mm-hmm. The lasers were cooler. The ships were cooler. The villains were cooler. Everything about Star Wars for me was cooler. But I definitely would love to see a Star Trek cartoon that takes you behind the scenes of the Enterprise and Captain Kirk and Uhura and, you know, Bones and Scotty and Captain Kirk and some of the Klingons. Maybe there's a friendship or some sort of, you know, in this day and age, you could say cell phone or a text message conversation between a Klingon and Spock, and they're trying to, you know, figure out where to go grab food. Or I don't know.
Totally,
I'm just making stuff up.
But the
possibilities are endless.
It's going to be great. Also, there's an untitled Captain Picard show that was revealed in August, and Patrick Stewart's coming back to play that.
Fantastic.
So that's going to be freaking awesome.
Great, I can't wait.
They're also talking about a Starfleet Academy series.
Okay.
It's a limited series based around the classic Wrath of Khan story.
Oh, man, this is great.
They got a guy going, Khan!
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
There you go, babe. So I'm just excited. And then there are also a series of short Star Trek stories that are called Short Treks.
That's funny.
And that's currently right now on CBS All Access.
See, now I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden I'm into Star Trek because if you bring that show, that's the problem.
Mm.
The movies, the newer movies with Chris Pine and with everybody else, fantastically done.
Yeah, really.
And I say
well done.
I say fantastic way too much.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. God, I don't even know why. You know what? And that's not even the reason
everybody's
why
doing,
I say
it. Of course, right, but everybody's
but
doing that.
But the way these movies have been done, it's been excellent. It's been really, really, really enjoyable
and
to watch.
And they're having a problem with the whole cast now. They don't know if they're going to make another movie with Pine and... your boy who plays Spock.
Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto.
Yeah.
Because he's off doing God knows what now. Because they're all independently doing their own thing.
Of course. And unfortunately, there are times where schedules just can't line up. And I'm sure as much as Chris Pine would love to continue to carry on the iconic role of, you know, Captain Kirk, if he doesn't have time, he can't. And same thing with Zachary Quinto. Because if there's a character you want to play, Spock has to be in the top 15, top 20.
Easily.
You know, like if you're into that science fiction genre, who would you want to play? I mean,
I want to be the.
I always wanted to be Han Solo. I always wanted to be Han Solo.
Yeah, that could win.
Always wanted to be Han Solo.
That could win.
Some people want to be Luke, but if you think about it, if you go through science fiction movies, and you could take the top 15, who would you want? You know, it's like they ask you this question in sports: if you could be a player on one team, what would the team be, and what would the position be? And many years ago...
strictly missionary position, first of all. Let's be honest. Seriously.
But years ago, the answer to that question, or at least the majority, was, I want to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. Or, I want to be number 23, Michael Jordan.
Right.
Or,
but, you know, but not even that. It's more about the position. It's not even about the number. It's not even about the name. So, growing up, if you grew up in Montreal...
You want to be the center for the Canadiens.
Or the goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens.
Right.
The quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys and the star right fielder for the New York Yankees. That's what a lot of people would say.
Or if you grew up in London, you probably want to be on...
David Beckham. You would want to be a striker on Man United or, you know, Man City.
Glory, Man United!
Is that what they really sing?
That's the theme song, or it's the other theme song from Eurotrip.
Sing! My baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 5 and then... He takes another home again to find me watching the Manchester United football team.
Right, this is the theme song.
Ah,
right?
The best freaking team in all the land. Woohoo!
Listen, any movie with Michelle Trachtenberg.
Trachtenberg. God, you can't say names right.
Her last name's going to be Libertini, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, my Lord. It is not.
That's all I got to say.
It is not.
That's all I got to say. Oh. You know, we don't have to worry about what your name is because it's going to be Libertini.
Sure.
But thanks for coming.
Yes, but getting back to what we were talking about, I'm very happy to see this Star Trek cartoon. Looking forward to it. Now I just can't wait for it to actually happen and start.
From one cool thing to another cool thing, British police hunt for the David Schwimmer thief. The David Schwimmer thief in London, right?
Oh.
They're looking for this guy who looks exactly like David Schwimmer. The Blackpool police came out Tuesday on social media. They said, do you recognize this man? And literally, it is a picture of I swear to God, it's David Schwimmer.
Like, it looks just like him.
It looks exactly like him.
It really looks like him.
So, obviously, absolutely fantastic. Social media is, what do they call that? A buzz.
A buzz.
It's a buzz. A lot of people are talking about it. People are putting out the Washington Post. Their headline is "The One Where Ross Became a Thief." I mean, endless. You could talk about this for endless. How long has Friends been off the air?
Oh my God! It hasn't been off the air. It stopped filming,
That's
but they're
point.
Still in syndication,
That's
so they're
point.
Still on the air.
So they're still in syndication. They got the syndication. From there, how long has it been since it's actually stopped filming? A decade?
More than that, I think. I want to say maybe 2000. Yeah, maybe 14 years, maybe 2004. I mean, look, this is something that's very easy to find out. Thankfully, we all have smartphones.
Right.
And it was 2004. 10 years, 94 to 2004.
There you go. So 14 years ago.
14 years. Hey, this is great for the cast of Friends. This is great for David Schwimmer. He's back in the news. I know he was a part of the... the O.J. Simpson drama that they came out with. I believe he played Robert Shapiro.
Yep.
So
and
he was tremendous in it. But now he's back in the news again. But now, what time of year is it?
Christmas time?
No, it's Halloween.
Halloween time. Sorry.
How many people are going to be dressing up as David Schwimmer with the box? You know, because he put out his own video saying, "No, I was in New York, as you can see," and David Schwimmer costumes are probably going to be all the rage now.
Absolutely hilarious. He's on Instagram at David Schwimmer, S-C-H Wimmer, two M's. And just as Louis was saying, he says, "Officers, I swear it wasn't me. As you can see, I was in New York. To the hardworking Blackpool police, good luck. To the hard, good luck with the investigation. Hashtag, it wasn't me." Saw you running on a counter. It wasn't me. And who's saying it wasn't me, Louis?
Oh, God, isn't that Shaggy?
Nice. Nicely done.
Shaggy.
Shaggy!
God, no, that's Shabba. You're supposed to scream like that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Shabba Ranks was that.
It's you.
Come on,
it's
man.
It's the lover man.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the It Wasn't Me. Right here.
Maybe one of the worst songs in creation.
Really?
Oh, please.
Here, go. So that's David Schwimmer's song to the Blackpool Police. Wasn't me. He said it wasn't
him. All right, you could end that song now. Oh, God. Make my ears bleed.
Let's talk about something actually pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to jump out of line here for a second.
Uh-oh.
James Caron. You grew up in New Jersey, right? You grew up in New Jersey.
I grew up in Queens. I grew up in Queens.
Okay, so the tri-state area.
We all knew Pathmark.
We all knew Pathmark, and we all knew the guy that used to come on for Pathmark. It was one guy.
He was the spokesman.
Yeah.
I thought he actually worked for Pathmark.
Like
I didn't know he was an actor. I thought he was the CEO of Pathmark. Exactly.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, it obviously, we're all sad. Guy lived to be 94 years mm-hmm. old. He was in the movie Poltergeist.
Sure.
He was in the movie with...
He was in Return of the Living Dead.
There
he was in Return of the Living Dead 2. We were looking up his IMDb,
mm-hmm.
and it was actually quite impressive that he was in so many amazing shows.
Yeah.
And not even movies, not even the silver screen, but the small screen. I'm just going to run through.
He was in the finale of Little House on the Prairie.
Right. He was, you know, he did some Cleveland Show, American Dad. Now, that's more now.
That's
Superman
awesome.
Returns, but his scenes were deleted.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go all the way back to the start of his career, let's see here. He was in As the World Turns. He played a couple of, he played a doctor on that. Car 54, Where Are You? That's a pretty legendary show.
Car 54, Where Are You?
He was in Hercules in New York, which if you don't know, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger's first movie.
Amazing.
Starsky and Hutch. He was on The Waltons, The Bionic Woman, Hawaii Five-0, McMillan and Wife, Police Woman. He's in the movie All the President's Men.
Wow.
Serpico, not the, I don't believe it's a TV series. It wasn't the Al Pacino movie.
Right.
Let's see. The Streets of San Francisco. That was a TV show. I'm looking just more because there's really, really, really good Lou Grant Fist with, I think, Sylvester Stallone. Episodes of One Day at a Time. I mean, like Rockford Files. Legendary. The China Syndrome he was in the movie.
Guy was born in 1923 in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
In the movie The Jazz Singer with Neil Diamond. I mean, if you think about some of these movies and TV shows, The Jeffersons, he played a character. Herbie the Love Bug, which was a TV series.
I'll give you one that's almost one of my favorites mm-hmm. that everybody knows. Mr. Kanterman.
Oh, from Seinfeld, absolutely.
And he gets mad at Elaine.
Well, who doesn't get mad at Elaine?
There he is.
Oh, hey. Hey, everyone, this way. I think we can get out through here.
Oh, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Look, no one knows how long this parade is going to last. They are a very festive people.
They are Puerto Ricans.
All I know is that it's Sunday night, and I have got to unwind. Now, who's with me? Father.
There you go.
So now, if you're a child of the 80s, just listen to this run of television shows that he had appearances on, okay?
Yeah.
Simon and Simon.
Yep.
Trapper John MD.
Uh-huh.
Dallas. Family Ties. Hardcastle and McCormick. Three's a Crowd. Dynasty. Cheers. Moonlighting. Webster. He was in the movie Return of the Living Dead. Jagged Edge, which was a big movie. 227, Invaders from Mars.
227.
He was in Square One. Remember, we used to watch that show on PBS? Square One was all about math and all that. Yeah.
Who's the boss?
Magnum PI. Wall Street, the movie with Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen and Daryl Hannah.
Right.
Return of the Living Dead 2, Sledgehammer, Golden Girls, MacGyver, Jake and the Fat Man, I mean, Murphy Brown, Highway to Heaven. The list goes on and on with this guy.
And this is how everybody from the tri-state knows him.
And this is how everybody knows him.
Look through this circular in Sunday's paper for super coupon bonanza savings like these. A half gallon Tropicana orange juice, $1.39. A dozen Pathmark large eggs, 69 cents. And a half gallon of Pathmark premium ice cream, $1.39. Come to Pathmark's super coupon bonanza, where you're the one who's number one 24 hours a day.
I mean, if you think about it, the guy, and Chris, you're all about voiceovers.
When I first started to do, and I'll let you get your brother, when I first started to do commercials for Pathmark, this is the thing that I had in my head.
Right.
Like, come on down to Pathmark and get $1.59 on the, like, right. That's how I thought that it should be.
Right, but the funny thing is, now you have to realize, when you do voiceovers for radio, obviously, it's a great thing to bank. It's a great job to get. You would never turn down a radio spot, especially if it's for Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, National, what have you. But even if it's local, you'd still do it because I'm sure you make a nice chunk of change.
Depending on the subject matter,
of course.
I've been known to turn down work.
Of course. But when you get your voice attached to a TV commercial, it's a different world. So,
money.
If you think about this man was the Pathmark guy for what seemed a very long time.
But he was the Pathmark guy when being the Pathmark guy
meant something. Right.
Like, you made money on that
stuff. And you also went to Pathmark because, well, that silver-haired gentleman seems real nice, and he's pitching this, and look at this, 2-for-1 orange juice. Okay, I'm going to Pathmark, and I'm going to shop. Those commercials were on every day in very, very, very big rotation numbers, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was insane.
But the thing is, this guy, the voice of Pathmark, his voice was used, his likeness was used, and then he just managed to, we didn't even get to the 90s. Everything that I read took place in the mid to late 80s.
It's amazing.
Okay?
It's amazing.
So then the 90s rolls around, and then he's on other TV shows, but he'll always be the Pathmark guy. But right. The thing is, he never really had to be a leading man because he was a leading man for 60 seconds and 30 seconds every day in almost every home in America or in the Northeast. I don't know how far Pathmark went in the 80s. But this guy, he made a great career. Look, I worked for Jay Thomas, okay?
Dre Thomas, amazing human being.
Jay Thomas will always be one of my dearest people that I've ever worked with, was friends with, and Jay was a triple threat. Jay could DJ, which is where he got his start. He could DJ, he can act, and he did voiceovers. So if you watch Michael Jordan's Come Fly With Me, Jay does the narration for that.
Amazing.
If you watch Twizzlers commercials from the 80s and 90s, Jay is the voice of the big mouth. Jay did a lot of voiceover work.
I remember that commercial. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, when you have that longevity, people always remember you. Because when I tell people, oh, I work for Jay Thomas, or I used to work for Jay Thomas, and the first thing they say, oh, Eddie Lebeck from Cheers. Yes.
Well, also the guy that was on the radio before Howard Stern.
Of course. Well, that's right. He was on, yeah, you're right.
Look what
you're
I
right.
did there.
You're absolutely
no,
right.
But listen, he was so flippin' talented. Here's what Louis's talking about. Back in the day, Jay Thomas from 1987 on the Twizzlers commercial with the big mouth, where all it was
and
was
he
on
was
the
a big mouth. And he was a big mouth, and I love him dearly.
Very much so. And so all it would be on the screen was just this big mouth would pop up, and Jay Thomas would be the VO.
I am a mouth. And my job is to eat things. One really fun thing I get to eat is Twizzlers candy. It makes me happy. They're so chewy, and their fruity flavor is so juicy. So if you have a mouth, and I know you do, may I personally recommend Twizzlers?
He was the best.
Pretty impressive.
Legendary.
Pretty impressive.
But the fact that the Pathmark guy, the fact that Jay Thomas, that they were able to do commercials, lend their voice to something, but then also act for as long as they did, It's amazing. I just wish, without getting really like sentimental here, I just wish Jay lived to 94 instead of losing him, you know, the way we did a couple of years ago. But he's still around. We know he's listening. We know he's watching, and he was awesome to work for. But yes, James Caron, 94 years old, the Pathmark guy. I mean, that's a pretty nice tribute on Pop Culture Meltdown for a guy who was anchored deep in the world of pop culture, because everybody who sees that man knows Pathmark guy.
And it's amazing because you don't even realize it until you're halfway down the thing. Like, I'm on Facebook now,
right,
and there it is. I'm watching a video about, you know, Pathmark guy dies. He's in the movie Poltergeist. He played bad guys, nice guys, tough guys, quite a pitch man. He did the Pathmark commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Just amazing. You know, so he was
Mr. Pathmark.
There you go.
In the New York area, he became a celebrity. If you're listening to this in Oklahoma, if you're in Nebraska, we're sorry that we're gushing about Pathmark. Pathmark was a superfood store back in the 80s and 90s. I don't remember when they closed down, if there are any around. I don't believe they are, but right now defunct. So, but he was just unbelievable as the pitch man. And I swear to God, I thought he owned Pathmark. I thought he was just the owner of Pathmark, and he was just hawking his wares and saying, hey, come and check my place. Like, right now, there's a place in the New York area. It's called Stu Leonard's. It's a Pathmark.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard those commercials?
And I think the real Stu Leonard actually does the reads, because...
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, because he doesn't sound like a classically trained voiceover guy.
He's not.
And I kind of like those reads because it's a normal dude.
There's one Stu Leonard's commercial. It's around, I think they've been using it for 10 years. He literally opens the door to the chicken coop. So you hear like... And then he goes, hey, what's up? It's Stu Leonard. I'm in the chicken coop, and I got the best chickens, and we're going to pluck all the chickens. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, it's so
it's absolutely batshit. Speaking of absolutely batshit, we just went to a crazy lottery this past week.
Right? I did not win.
2 weeks?
I did not win.
Yeah, nobody wins. It's back to the dollar menu for all you heathens. And I got to be honest, it was kind of lottery fever. I never play the lottery, ever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This time, the past couple of weeks or 2 weeks, I played it.
I feel like I'm
about... 10 bucks here, 10 bucks there, 10 bucks here, 10 bucks there. I'm not Nelson D.
No.
I don't make Boomer Esiason money. I'm not making Mike Francesca money. I'm not even making freaking Sid Rosenberg money.
For those of you who don't know who these people are, if you're outside of the New York area, they're all local sports celebrities here on the radio in New York. Boomer, obviously, the former quarterback of the Jets, the Cincinnati Bengals, and I believe he played for the Arizona Cardinals very shortly in his career. And Sid, obviously, has been on this podcast for many, many, many episodes. And Mike Francesa is obviously... Actually, let me say that again. And Mike Francesa is the sports pope of New York, who has been dominating... Right, he's been dominating sports radio and afternoon drive for many, many, many years.
Many, 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 many. Yes. Many, 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 many.
Right, but I...
What's that from?
Oh, I don't remember.
And we're very many, many. We're so proud of them because they do many, 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 many.
Who's that?
From Police Academy.
Oh.
The captain.
Oh, Commandant Lassard.
Commandant Lassard.
Right. Oh, no, George Gaines, of course. Yes. Who was... Oh, Punky.
Yes.
He was Punky Brewster's...
Yes, he was.
He was Punky Brewster's adopted father.
Punky Brewster was fantastic, that
he
show.
He was in Tootsie. See, this is like Pop Culture Meltdown here, because we're mentioning all of these shows, all of these great shows. And
just call it Pop Culture Meltdown.
No, he was in Tootsie. Oh my God, I can't remember his name though, in Tootsie. But he's the man who kisses Dustin Hoffman's character Emily
That's
Kimberly.
Right.
They call him Gina Davis. We call him the tongue, because he kisses every girl, and it's written into his contract that he has to kiss every girl.
The tongue.
Oh, punker. I just think that's the easiest way to do that.
Love it.
So I feel like we're going to go to another pop culture movie.
Talk to me.
I feel like I'm Charlie Bucket from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, because I did not buy one ticket for the lotto.
You didn't buy one ticket for the lotto?
I did not buy one ticket.
Why not?
Every time that I thought to buy it, I was either on the train heading home or nowhere near where I could buy a New York or New Jersey Mega Millions, Powerball, whatever the jackpot is.
Okay.
So it just never happened. And look at me, I saved money.
Well, I mean, you did.
I mean,
save
I know you
money.
Have to be in it to win it. Chris, you used to be the voice of the New York State Lotto. Why don't you give us a little tagline?
But yes, I used to be the voice for New York Lottery for a hot second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. It's a whole deal.
But I just couldn't get into it.
I couldn't get into it either.
I just feel like
even though
things
I spent
rigged.
$40.
I know. I
mean, spent $40.
I don't want to say that they're rigged, because that's just wrong. But I understand they say all you need is a dollar and a dream and you have to be in it to win it. But really, I mean.
You never know. Listen,
it's that was another one. Hey, you never know. That was another one.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah,
it's literally anybody's guess. It can happen at any time.
I know.
Let's talk about something.
So can death.
That's a good point. Let's talk about something else that can happen at any time. There's a local story of a guy that lives. I grew up in Monmouth County. Louis now lives in Ocean County, correct? That's Ocean County, or is that still Monmouth County?
I think I'm still in Monmouth.
You're in Monmouth, okay. Yeah. So he lives in Long Branch, New Jersey.
Thanks, tell everybody.
Oh, stop it. Come on. Nobody.
Want my address? Do you want my address?
Everybody in that area has seen the story of a local school superintendent that goes running at a local
high school track
in the area, Holmdel High School. And what happened to this guy was he pooped on the track.
Oh, boy.
Like, he pooped on the track. I got to be honest with you. They caught him doing it. They filmed it. They caught him doing it. They wanted to see everything about him, all that stuff. And they did it. They found this guy pooping on the track.
Crazy.
How does this even happen?
Look, I understand the jogger life and the jogger mentality of, hey, I'm running a marathon. This is what has to happen. I'm not stopping to find a bush or what have you. But I just can't even think about it. I can't even describe the panic that would come over me and my body if I knew, uh-oh, I'm not going to make it to a facility in time.
This guy used to be the Kenilworth, New Jersey superintendent, and he's accused of pooping at a high school track, right?
Right.
So what happened is, the guy's 42 years old, right? Thomas Tremaglini, right? Tremaglini, okay. I'll give it to him. He lives in Aberdeen, New Jersey. So think about this.
Or is it Mattawan? Aberdeen-Mattawan?
Aberdeen-Mattawan. But I'm saying, think about this. The guy lives in Aberdeen-Mattawan, New Jersey, drives to Holmdel, New Jersey, to go running at 5 o'clock in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And says that he has runner's diarrhea. So all he does is he runs.
Right.
And runner's diarrhea is caused by blood flow being placed all throughout the body. And what happens, he has to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. He has to go poop.
Yeah.
So what does he do? Does he look for a nearest poop shed? Which is what they call, what do they call those poop sheds?
Porta-potties?
Porta-potties. I like to call them portable poop sheds, but all right.
Okay.
So he's in a porta-potty.
Right.
But he doesn't make it to the porta-potty. He just drops the deuce right then and there. Now, at what point do you do that? I don't understand. It's acute blood flow during exercise is the definition of runner's diarrhea. So at what point are you a guy that runs... You know, you go running. You know you go running every morning. Mm-hmm. You know you have this problem. How are you going to do that in public? If you can't support yourself and run like a normal human being without draining your bowels,
right?
What are you doing? So the guy, he got suspended from work.
Okay.
Okay? He went on administrative leave or whatever you want to call that. What do they call that?
Sabbatical?
Yeah, like a sabbatical.
Administrative leave?
Administrative leave. He took a paid leave of absence, right?
Right.
Guy makes $147,504 a year. And his administrative leave that he got, they gave him $100,000 in salary, severance, and unused vacation days because he retired from there. He gave us notice. So now the guy goes to court and him and his lawyer, this is him at the hearing, right? And this is what him and his counsel decided that they have to do. They're going to sit there and do this story that he has to take a poop every single time he runs.
Mr. Tremaglini, on May 1st, 2018, were you present at the Holmdel High School track and athletic field?
Yes.
Were you utilizing the track to run for exercise at approximately 5 a.m. in the morning?
Yes.
Did you understand that to be a public place where it would be reasonably expected that you could be viewed by members of the public?
Yes.
Did you experience the immediate and emergent need to defecate while running?
Yes.
Did you defecate in public under the bleachers near the track and field to relieve the sudden need to do so that developed while you were running?
Yes.
at the time that you
Louis, I just got to stop for one second because I just came up with a funny joke. So they usually say, you're behind the bleachers, you smell something foul. It's usually not somebody taking a poop. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, we can continue.
Open public restroom facilities in the vicinity of the track and athletic field that you could have made it to under those emergent circumstances?
No.
Did you do what you did because it was an emergency?
Yes.
Did you pick up and throw any litter that you created?
Yes.
Your Honor, having elicited that allocution from my client, respectfully submit that the elements of the offense have been established under municipal ordinance.
There you go. So he elocuted himself. Louis, what do you think?
Honestly?
Yeah. Talk to me. Give me no holds barred.
I think he's full of shit.
Come on, you had to know that was coming.
Of course, that was coming.
Let's talk
Tee it up and smack it out of the park.
It's out of here. Let's talk about something super cool
that
happened in 1955. I was in a tub, and I hit my head on the tub, and I came back, and I saw...
You're doing it wrong.
The flux capacitor. How am I doing it? Talk to me.
Because I was in my bathroom. I was hanging a clock. The porcelain the porcelain was wet. And I hit my head on the edge of the sink. And then when I came to, I had a vision. A revelation. Oh, no, a revelation. A vision. A picture in my head. A picture of this. This is what makes time travel possible. The flex capacitor.
Nicely done. Let's talk about something that happened.
It's
all right. Better, much better than mine.
Talk
about something that happened October 25th, which is when we're recording this podcast.
Yes.
In 1955.
Something that has been vital.
Vital.
To many a college kid.
Mm-hmm.
To many a... pothead.
Okay.
And just everybody.
Hot Pockets?
No. We'll save Jim Gaffigan for another day. But close, because Hot Pockets would not have a place to rest and cook if it wasn't for the releasing of
Ba-ba-da-ba!
A home microwave.
Wow.
1955.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Now, how much was this?
Under 800 bucks.
Wow. 800 bucks for
cooks
a microphone.
Cooks a pot roast in an hour. Jeez. Bacon in 90 seconds.
Jesus.
Finally, you can do all of this at home with your Tapan home microwave.
That's unbelievable.
According to the advertisement.
And where do they sell it? It's Sears?
Everywhere.
Well, Sears is now going away.
I'm sure they sell it.
It's
everywhere.
Slowly going the way of the buffalo.
I know. Well,
did you see they just came out with this? Who knows what you read anymore, but they came out with a study about the microwave that it doesn't give you cancer.
Really?
Come on. You're radiating food.
Of course. I don't know.
What's the difference between the toaster oven, the microwave oven, and the oven? Like, the oven is a convection oven, correct?
Right.
So wouldn't that's relatively safe heat?
Well, what
you'd think?
Well, what they're calling this here, okay, all right, because I'm looking at the advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
then again in 1955 they would sell cocaine,
right,
in Coca-Cola Classic.
There's a tapin, however you want to say it.
Right.
There's a lifetime of cooking satisfaction built into every tapin range.
Mm-hmm.
New electronic oven. Cooks 10-pound roast in 1 hour, bacon in 90 seconds, now under $800.
Wow.
And the funny thing is, if you look at the advertisement, and I'm looking at this on a Twitter site called @RetroNewsNow,
mm-hmm.
it looks like the Brady Bunch kitchen. You have the oven in the brick wall.
Out of control.
I
love that stuff.
See, this is pop culture meltdown. We just throw in we throw in pop culture references all the time. So the microwave oven. I hardly use a microwave oven now. I just turn my oven on. If I want to reheat pizza, I kind of like the crisp. When you put pizza into the microwave,
Agreed.
It gets a little soggy.
Agreed.
A little tough. So I just throw it right into a toaster oven, or I just turn my oven on, get it to a nice warm temperature, and then pop it right in.
So the Harvard Health Study came out with a study in August of this year. They say, are microwaves bad for your health? The cooking method that best retains nutrients is one that cooks quickly, heats food for the shortest amount of time, and uses as little liquid as possible. Sounds like one of my dates. Microwaving meets those criteria. Using the microwave with a small amount of water essentially steams food from the inside out. That keeps in more vitamins and minerals than almost any other cooking method that shows microwave food can indeed be healthy.
Hey, I'm all for it.
But They say, let's not get lost in the details. Vegetables, pretty much any way you prepare them, are good for you. Most of us don't eat enough of them. And it's microwave, oven, good or bad. The microwave is a marvel of engineering, a miracle of convenience, and sometimes a nutritiously, and sometimes nutritionally advantageous to boot. So that's from Harvard.
I'm all for it.
So do you think that that is a study that would be biased?
No.
Or do you think that that would be an actual...
I think that's...
You can trust those kids.
Yeah. When
Harvard speaks, I listen.
All right. I can agree about that. Let's wrap this whole thing up, actually.
Yeah.
I want to talk about somebody that's been very, very important in our lives. And his name is... Well, the Adam, dog's name.
Adam Hamway?
No. Well, oh. Yes. But the dog's name...
Okay.
...was Indiana.
Oh.
The dog? You were named after the dog? One of my favorite parts of that movie.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about Indiana Jones.
Very cool.
They say that they're coming to Universal Studios.
That'll be fun. But didn't that happen once before?
I guess.
I remember the Indiana Jones like stunt spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Was that at MGM or was that at Universal? I think it was at Universal.
Might have been. But all I know is that... Indiana Jones is absolutely fantastic. Right now
it was at Disney World. The Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular was at Walt Disney World.
Well,
yes.
now Disney's doing Star Trek or Star Wars.
Right.
They're doing a Star Wars land. So
that I cannot wait for. I mean,
yeah,
my goodness.
I don't know.
Oh, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I think it's gonna be awesome, but I also think it's just gonna be like I used to work at Great Adventure. I know these things when it happens like that. It's just kinda eh.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I don't know.
What did you do at Great Adventure?
I was Bugs Bunny for like 2.5 years.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is new.
Yeah.
And also, how did you stay quiet for so long?
Oh, I don't. I didn't. I talked. You weren't supposed to talk. I talked.
Of course. Well, big shock
listen,
there.
Listen, I was 17 years old.
Oh, my Lord. This is funny.
I was actually in the Bugs Bunny costume.
Right.
And when I'd like be taking a picture with like 17-year-old girls,
okay,
I'd whisper in her ear and be like, how you girls doing?
Oh.
Like out of the Bugs Bunny thing. They'd be like, oh my God, it's Bugs Bunny talking to me. And then
do they know you're not really Bugs Bunny?
Obviously.
I'm
but
sure they don't.
They would say that, and the people that I had working with me were like my bosses, and they would be like, Bugs, you know you're not supposed to be saying anything, and I'd mime, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, Bugs, were you just talking? And I'd make another mime. Talking? I don't know what you're talking about. And then I just kind of like, I enjoyed it very much. I am filled with energy at all times. And it's literally like turning on a light in the morning. I'm just awake. That's it. So I did that for about 2.5 years.
I'm so glad you are not my roommate.
No,
kill you.
Oh, no. I pass out. And when I sleep, I sleep. But my whole point in saying this is Indiana Jones, they're going to have Indiana Jones land. It's going to be absolutely tremendous, and we'll see what happens.
I would love to go. I have not been to Florida in that area in a long time, and I'm missing my days of going to Disney World and riding Space Mountain and going to Universal Studios and MGM. I don't even know if MGM is still open. That just goes to show you how much attention that I've paid. But let me see. We have the computer in front of me. MGM Studios, Orlando. It's still there, but I think Disney bought it. Yeah, so it's all Disney stuff.
I just think it's going to be absolutely tremendous. And they got to have, you know, they got to take you through all the movies.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's at the close of business on January 6, 2018, the Walt Disney World Resort theme park known as Disney MGM Studios officially shut its doors after almost a decade of operations. Fans didn't have to worry too much, however, as the park would reopen the next morning under its new name, Disney's Hollywood Studios. So it is still there, but it's just under a different name.
That's out of control.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. I actually want to end the podcast on this.
Mm-hmm.
NASA just came out with super, super cool news.
Oh, boy.
Literally just came out with it on October 20th. They've added a bunch of new gamma ray star configurations, and they've come up with some inventive new ways of naming them. They named a constellation after Doctor Who. How cool is that?
Awesome.
They call it the TARDIS. It's known as that's like the Doctor Who spaceship, essentially.
Yeah.
And they call one of their brand new constellations the TARDIS, which I think is so freaking cool.
Pretty cool. See, but the problem is, if we talk to John Batchelor about it, he's going to go, I'm not familiar with the show.
Right, exactly. So. We had a great conversation with Johnny Batchelor.
How was that? I felt terrible that I had to miss it.
I mean, he was actually asked, he walked in, said, where's the other guy? First thing.
Where's your friend?
Where's Louie? Where's Louie? Where's sweet Louie? I don't see sweet Louie. Where's he? Where'd he go?
Has he gone the way of Conforto?
Right, gone the way of the buffalo or Conforto. Amazing.
Has he gone the way of Michael Conforto?
Absolutely amazing.
Jacob deGrom needs to be traded.
We actually did talk about Jacob deGrom.
Of course you did.
We talked about carbon dating on Bones. And I have to end the podcast with John Batchelor saying this.
The moment this series goes on, there's weeping, weeping, weeping.
They're in one of the circles in Dante's Inferno right now, all the Yankee fans.
It reminds me of the war between India and Pakistan back in the 1970s when Kissinger turned to Nixon and said, can they both lose?
Who would describe baseball like that?
Between John Batchelor.
Kissinger and?
Nixon.
Nixon. And saying, can they both lose?
Can they both lose? But that has been
said. That's John Batchelor.
That's John Batchelor to a T, but that has also been said many times from many fans of many teams who dislike a National League team and dislike an American League team.
Can they both lose?
I can remember Met fans saying that when the Yankees and the Phillies squared off in the World Series. Can they both lose?
Can they both lose?
But we know that one can't. One always has to win, and it's usually the Yankees, unfortunately. But I'm not a hater. I'm just jealous.
Well, you're also absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
This has been Pop Culture Meltdown.
Yes.
We'll see you again next Wednesday when we will have an exciting announcement to make. How about that? We'll have an exciting announcement.
I'm as surprised as the listeners because I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, come back next Wednesday and I'll tell Louie and I'll tell you guys some stuff.
Nice.
All right.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram at popculturemeltdown. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to dankellyvo.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudzki. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.